It has been a big year for court cases and legal changes. My guest is Calvin Ganek, former police officer, now the managing director of Ganek and Associates, and he specialises in criminal law and professional misconduct. He's joining us to talk through all the biggest cases, and I guess, Calvin, arguably one of the biggest cases of the year, nationwide at least, was the Ben Robert Smith trial. In terms of defamation cases, just how complicated was this?
Yes, Bianca. Again, I've spoken about unprecedented cases. It certainly has been a big year, and this case, it caught the attention of the whole Australian community, really. And the fact that a lot of it was broadcast, so the community could actually watch the proceedings and follow them. And certainly, because of Ben Robert Smith's reputation, it was obviously something the community followed at great length. But it definitely had all of the trademarks of a difficult, complex case, given the location of the events that occurred. The fact that the events that occurred often were protected by confidentiality because of the nature of the, the wartime events occurring, et cetera, et cetera. So, and just when we talk about the legal costs associated with this proceeding, it demonstrates exactly how complex it was and how long it went for. I think off memory, it went for over 100 days of evidence.
And interrupted by COVID, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're talking $25 million in legal costs still being argued about, and security costs for the appeal that will happen most probably next year, one would expect as well. But it certainly gathered the attention of many around the country.
Yeah, that's for sure. And even the verdict, it was quite a unique verdict, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Very experienced judge that dealt with the matter. But again, there was a lot of transparency. The verdict itself was broadcast live from memory. I think I was in Canberra at the time. And it had to deal with whether there was substantial truth. And the most extraordinary thing about these cases that are being brought under defamation at the moment, and the Bruce Lerman matter isn't finalised yet, but it's actually the accused person bringing the proceedings to try and protect their reputation. But the other side to that argument is it allows the accuser to prove what happened was true, and that was what happened here. These allegations were not proven. To my knowledge, there were no other proceedings being brought or focused upon Robert Smith. And by him initiating the proceedings and then receiving an adverse verdict, he's brought that, in essence, in hindsight, upon himself.
Yeah, it's going to cost Kerry Stokes a pretty penny.
Yes. Yes, as I say, $25 million, I think they're reporting in costs so far, and more to come.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not an employee of Channel 7 anymore. My stocks have gone down. Another notable case was Kathleen Folbig's conviction being overturned. I couldn't imagine spending 20 years in jail before being released and then pardoned as well.
Yeah, and it goes further than that, Bianca. So as you say, I think the death of her first child was 1989, and the last perhaps in 1998, across a number of years. And she was convicted of all of those deaths. And then in 2002, the Attorney General ordered an inquiry. And the findings of that inquiry were favourable to Ms. Folbig. And as you say, then earlier this year, she was pardoned and released from prison. But most significantly is just recently, the Court of Appeal ordered that the convictions be overturned and directed acquittal verdicts for all charges. So given the length of time, and again, this is a case that in recent time has generated interest through its media attention, through reporting, and perhaps even the inquiry and the chance to review this evidence, and Ms. Folbig given the chance to be pardoned and acquitted, might not have occurred had it not been for the media pressure and the constant pressure in that space.
I think this case particularly too shows how science and technology and developments over the years play a huge role in justice. And in particular here in Queensland, looking at the DNA inquiry, we've all been a bit more educated, I suppose, as to what role that plays in the justice system.
Yeah, and it's always been a discussion amongst at least the legal fraternity when going before a jury. Jurors are lay people that come before the court to provide public service in that role as a juror, but they're not experts in forensic science, etc. And I must say myself, as a lawyer appearing in those cases, I don't understand those concepts either. I rely on the expert report from the independent professional to say what the conclusion is. So, yes, you're right. The findings out of the DNA inquiry and then also other states are now running into those same problems. It certainly has demonstrated the benefits of it, but also the dangers as well.
Have you seen any implications from the DNA inquiry here in Queensland as a lawyer going, you know, in the court system?
No. So the implications from the DNA inquiry really just affect timelines now. They're trying to catch up. They're trying to do all of those reviews of those cases, thousands and thousands of cases. But in regards to any specific cases that have been brought back before the court because of miscarriage of justice, as I think Mr. Sofronoff, the commissioner of that inquiry, said as well, the likelihood of there being a miscarriage of justice with an innocent person in custody is so very unlikely from the errors that were identified or the processes, flawed processes were identified. What it identified was the fact that we may have offenders not identified walking within the community who will be identified. And as yet, I don't think those investigations have come through, or certainly not in my experience, have flowed through to proceedings before the court as yet.
Yeah, and of course, all of that was sparked by the investigation into the murder of Shandy Blackburn. So hopefully her family does get some justice out of that one soon. Finally, I want to talk about the one probably most likely to be turned into a movie in the years ahead. And this one is still before the courts, the Poisoned Mushrooms Dinner. I mean, we've had murder charges laid now. It is quite a remarkable case.
Yeah, so I raise this one to talk about because this will probably be the case that we're talking about at the end of next year, Bianca, because as you've identified just recently, the 3rd of November, police executed a search warrant and arrested Ms. Patterson and charged her with multiple counts of homicide and attempted homicide from 2021 and 22. In regards to preparing meals for family members and associates, and the allegation is with what we rhetorically call magic mushrooms causing deaths or causing people to be very ill. And again, the attention around the country has been significant on this already prior to Ms. Patterson even being charged. So this is one to follow, I guess, for 2024. I doubt whether we'll get to a trial in 2024, given she only recently was charged, a trial on current timeframes, I would suggest, might not get on until 2025.
Well, it's one to watch, that's for sure. Have you had any, I don't want to say favourite cases, but any, you know, what are your top cases for this year?
Listen, a lot of my cases this year are the ones where we have young people who are from good families and they make poor decisions in regards to getting behind a wheel and being inexperienced at drinking. So some of those cases involve tragedies, some luckily do not. So it's those cases where, you know, you have good people all the time making mistakes, and if we can help them out, they're the top of the tree for us.
Yeah, and Calvin, at this time of the year, a very good lesson to all the young people or all the people out there, do not drink and drive. Don't drink and get behind the wheel, that's for sure. Thanks so much for your time, and thank you for all of your time through 2023. No doubt we'll hear from you next year.
Thank you. If I could just add, Bianca, it's just been breaking news that today Carl Webb, the former State of Origin player, has passed away. We have a very strong link with the rugby league community. So if we could just pass on our condolences to Carl's family and friends in regards to that tragic event today.
Yeah, so many tributes coming through for Carl Webb, just 42 years old, suffering with motor neurone disease, passed away at his home overnight after a fall, we believe. So very sad news for the whole rugby league community. Of course, his family, four children, and his friends too. Thanks, Kelvin.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thanks a lot.
Merry Christmas.